A golden anniversary for Black Gold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us in the United States. As the economy is slowly, very slowly, getting better this year, so too is the expectation that global oil demand will grow. But the International Energy Agency today said that growth isn't likely to last into next year. And that is a certainty, the IEA says, if the global economy gets weaker. Not a very nice anniversary present for the oil cartel OPEC, which turns 50 today. On September 10th, 1960, a conference kicked off in Baghdad, which led to its formation. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our London bureau to figure out how they're commemorating today. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So looking back 50 years, has OPEC been a success?
It's done pretty well for its members. The price of oil was only $3 a barrel in 1960. Today, it's around $74. That's not been great for the rest of us, of course. And there's also the issue of volatility. When the cartel was born, its stated aim was price stability. And that it certainly hasn't achieved. If you remember, oil was $147 a barrel only 2 years ago. The price has been all over the place.
Yes, it has. I remember those days. So the cartel hasn't been a win for the rest of us. Are we stuck with OPEC for another 50 years?
Well, for a few more years at least. The big threat is Iraq, oddly enough, which is still a member. If Iraq gets its act together and produces as much oil as it can, four times more than it's producing today, that'll mean a lot more oil from OPEC and more difficult for the cartel to control prices. And it could fall apart. But Leo Drolis of the Center for Global Energy Studies says Iraq isn't going to pay back in full production anytime soon.
It could be 5 years from now, it could be 10, or even more. So OPEC still has a bit of mileage left in it before it starts to come under pressure.
Longer term, of course, OPEC will come under pressure as oil reserves dwindle and renewable energy sources start playing a bigger role.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Having grown up in the South, I always remember eating black-eyed peas and turnip greens on New Year's Day. Well, today is the final day of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish calendar New Year, and the Jewish people usually mark the event by eating sliced apples and honey. But counterfeiters in Israel are trying to take advantage of that tradition. From Jerusalem, Daniel Estrin reports.
In Israel, this time of year is especially sweet for honey manufacturers. More than a million jars of the stuff are sold for Rosh Hashanah. That's 40% of annual sales in Israel, sold just for this holiday. But a few weeks back, an Israeli honey producer alerted the National Honey Association that he found imitation honey in grocery stores. Instead of being the land of milk and honey, this year you can add to that list melted sugar and artificial flavoring. Herzl Avidor, the president of the Honey Association, got his hands on a jar of the imitation stuff and took a taste.
The taste of it, the smell of it, give us a hint that it is something not honey.
A lab test confirmed his suspicions, and all 11 tons of the product were destroyed. This is not the first time an Israeli counterfeiter has tried to take advantage of the peak honey sales period. In the meantime, it advised Israeli consumers to stick to well-known brands. From Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
Let's do numbers. European markets are lower right now on continued bank debt fears. Asian shares gained a little traction today on positive news on Japan's economy. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 28 points to end the day at 10,415.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Tomorrow is the 9th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks on our country. There is a memorial service at Ground Zero in New York, and a few blocks north, rallies are planned in front of the now very well-known site of a planned Islamic center and mosque. Ashley Milne-Tite asked some business owners in the area whether the center might hurt or help the bottom line.
For such a controversial place, the future mosque sits on a pretty dull block. The back of an office building towers over one side of the street. On the other, there's a bar, a supermarket, and a couple of smaller stores. One block away, Pemba Sherpa is huddling behind his tiny candy and newspaper stand. He says business never quite recovered after 9/11. Then some of his customers got laid off during the recession. He says the mosque is fine with him, but he's not sure it'll help sales much.
I don't think there's any difference now. I don't think there's any difference, good for or bad for the business, you know what I mean? I'm hoping more people come down here, not only the mosque, some other things also, you know, so our business will grow up.
Across the street, customers search through the sale racks at clothing store De Janeiro. Manager Vardwati Prashad says the Islamic Center is boosting her sales even before it's been built. Muslim men already come to pray at the current site.
And especially now is the Muslim holiday. They bring the kids and the wives, they come, and when they come to the mosque, they come in my store.
She says the new building will help improve the area.
A lot of buildings over here, they close out, they're for rent. Nobody coming down this area to rent.
You can see abandoned storefronts nearby. Still, according to the Downtown Alliance, last year more businesses opened in this area than closed. Convenience store owner Alpesh Jani is happy to talk about how well he's doing.
I don't have any complaints. So far, it's very good.
But when I bring up the mosque, he turns away.
I'm Indian and I'm Hindu, so I don't want to give any comments.
A lot of other store owners wouldn't talk either. The debate over the mosque has become so heated, it seems even the economic angle is off limits. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And finally, all the business news in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
The head of HP, Mark Hurd, we don't know what exactly occurred. Suspicious expenses, flimsy defenses, the board wasn't taking his word. So then Oracle said in reply, we'll take him, Hurd's a great guy. Now, as of this writing, the two firms are fighting, and I still have no idea why. Then there's BP's claim they're not solely to blame for the leaking that came from the rupture and flame, and there's more fiscal drama surrounding Obama because he's defending an increase in spending, and if he relaxes some corporate taxes, the deficit grows. Is it worth it? Who knows? And goodbye to the CEO of Nokia from Marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.